Yaakov Avinu, Yehuda, the last week's parasha really left off at a cliffhanger. We come there where Yosef, he planted evidence in the backpack of Binyamin, and they were sent home to Yaakov, and then suddenly they were stopped on the road. You better come back. The goblet of the viceroy is missing, and you are all prime suspects. And they said, ridiculous. We would go and take the goblet of the viceroy. What are you talking about? Nonsense of nonsense. Really? Let's check your luggage. And sure enough, the baggage handlers, they checked the luggage, and sure enough, they found the goblet in the backpack of Binyamin. Okay, all of you are under arrest. Let's go back to the palace. They go back to the palace. And Yosef confronts them and says, what are you people doing? What have you done? Okay, you know what we're going to do? Binyamin's going to be my slave. And all of you guys, get out of here. Go home. I'm a tzaddik. I really should arrest you. I should incarcerate all of you. But you know what? I'll be a nice guy. I'll only take one of you as a slave. I'm taking Binyamin. Oh! And that's where the parasha and too big. You can see at the end of last week's parasha, they should say, instead of saying Kaddish, they should say, to be continued. The cliffhanger. To be continued. Right in the middle of the drama. What's going to happen next? Okay, so we come to this parasha. Yehuda comes forward and he says, Be Adoni. Let me speak to you and let's negotiate here. Be Adoni. Please don't take Binyamin as a slave. Take me instead as a slave. Yehuda says, I'm much better. Anything that Binyamin can do, I can do better. Take me as a slave and let Binyamin go. Then Yehuda says something very important. Yehuda says, good morning, Rabbi Wolf. Yehuda says something very important, and that is, he says to him, you're probably wondering, Yosef, in disguise, why I'm taking the lead, why my other brothers don't seem to care very much, and I'm very disturbed, and I'm willing to risk my life here and talk to you and speak to you very harshly about this issue and not allow you to get away with it. You know why? Because before we left, our father didn't want to give Binyamin over. I had to be the guarantor. And the words of the Pasuk are, Ki avdecho, your servant. Orave sanar. Guarantee the nar. Me'im avi lemar. I told my father, Imloi avienu elecha v'chotosi le'avi kol hayomim. I told my father that if I don't bring Binyamin back alive, v'tzaktiv lefonecha, those are the words of last week's parasha, if I don't bring him back alive and stand him up vertically before you, in other words, in Rashi they say, what do you mean v'tzaktiv? V'tzaktiv means bring him back alive and well, then there's going to be a consequence for me. The consequence is v'chotosi le'avi kol hayomim. These are very vague words. I have sinned to my father all of the days. What in the world do these words mean? What does it mean? V'chotosi le'avi kol hayomim. Thank you very much. What are the consequences? The consequences are, I'm in nidui. Rashi says, it means I put myself, Lios, I'll read the words of Rashi over here. It says, Heim kula mibachutz, aval ani niskasharti, bekesher chozok lios minude, bishnei oilamois. Very nice sequel, very nice a segue from what we learned before, alamois, mamish, hashkacha pratis, Bishnei olamos. I am going to be minudeh in two worlds. So I always find it very. Shtei olamos. What? Yos doesn't care. I care. Yehuda cares.
So Yehuda says, you know, he's
offering. Right. No, that he's just telling the reason why I care my own hide. I care myself. The reason why I, Yosef doesn't care, exactly. Yehuda cares. Yehuda says, the reason why I am going to fight to the very bitter end over here, I'm not going to let you get away with this, because I don't want to be excommunicated in this world and in the next world. I always find it very funny with these politicians. Politician, they will never ever confess they did something wrong, no matter what. No matter how much evidence you can prove.
It just happened yesterday.
Yeah, it was Santa.
What? Okay, if someone confessed, so they say,
partially.
I say, I take responsibility. And therefore what? So it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle for a politician to say, you know what? We made a mistake, and I take responsibility. And therefore what? And therefore what? So that's a miracle. For a politician to say, I made a mistake, it's mamish, mashuna de gabriya. I never saw such a thing before. Let's say a miracle of miracle of miracles happened, that a politician today says, I made a mistake. And therefore, now let's go to part B. And therefore what? Nothing. What are the consequences? The consequence should be, I stepped out from office. I have to retire. I'm a disaster. I've done a terrible, terrible thing. I take responsibility. Therefore, I quit. I resign. You hear once in a while, once in a blue moon, a politician says, that's right, I made a mistake.
In England, they
resign. They resign. When you take, and nothing, I get a raise, and I get a raise, and I want you to reelect me. I take responsibility. It's because of me. Terrible things have happened. People have suffered. And
sorry, let's go on now.
Let's go on. I take responsibility. People have died because of my mistakes, my misjudgment, my wickedness, my deliberate attempt to destroy you, and therefore vote for me in the next election and give me a night and give me a raise and give me an award. Give me the Nobel Prize. It's mamish shocking. This is just a shocking world of sheker we live in. We live in a world of sheker that has this generation of sheker, a new definition of sheker, new dimensions. Well, look, what?
He mentioned in England they resigned. There's a different system. The prime minister is the product of similar people like him. So next one is waiting to be prime minister. The minute he makes a mistake, all of them jump because they feel I will be the next prime minister.
So there's a vice president. This country, the same thing. There's a whole long line. There's a whole long line of leadership.
Election,
so there's a president. There's a vice president. There's a speaker of the house. There's a whole. There's the secretary of the defense. There's a whole succession. So there's also. I just want to give you an example. Just an example. There's responsibility. I take responsibility, and therefore what? And therefore what? You have to always ask that question. When you hear someone get up and say, you know something, I made a mistake. And I take responsibility. And therefore what?
Most of the time that's satisfying to the
wife. What?
Most of the time that's satisfying to the wife.
To the wife? Oh, you're talking about a marriage. Okay, you want to say it's an act of humiliation? All right, listen, whatever it is. I only want to make that point for this week's parsha, Rabbi Yisrael. This week's parsha. Over here, Yehuda says, Binyamin over here was a ganav. He found the goblet. Listen, I take responsibility. And therefore, take me instead. Don't take Binyamin. There are consequences. The consequences are, take me instead. Number two, I told my father, I will bring him home. And if I don't bring him home, there are consequences, and there are real consequences, and the consequences here, chotasi le'avi kol hayomim, means I am excommunicated in this world and in the next world. Which means in this world, I'm not going to sit in the mizrach, I'm not going to be a rabbi, I'm not going to be a rosh yeshiva, I'm not going to be an askan. I'm going to be just some yukel sitting in the back of the shul doing nothing with my life. I'm going to be a nobody. You are a nobody. Just like they said at the Aguda Convention, you are a nobody. That is the moment. The defining moment of the, without question, everyone who was there said that was the defining moment when Rabbi Yadid said, and you are a nobody.
I wasn't there. Who they
talked to?
Everyone. It said it to everyone in the audience. And you are a nobody. That was unbelievable. It was so unbelievable that when it was over, all the Aguda girls who work in the office, they all went up to the podium when they were playing around there, and the photographer of the Aguda was videotaping them saying in the front of them, the podium, and you are a nobody. Turned into a Purim spiel. All right. Any event, there are consequences. There are consequences. The consequences that for Yehuda, Yehuda become a nobody. In this world.
You're just there and you're ready, you're a garnish.
Exactly. So over here, Yehuda says, if I don't bring, I take responsibility, and there are consequences. The consequences are, if I don't bring him back alive, I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody in this world and a nobody in the next world. And that's very painful. There are real consequences. And that is why I am not giving up. I will not let this happen. No matter what, I'm going to fight to the bitter end. Okay, fine. And Yosef had to contend with this. Yosef lost. It's a very interesting thing is that when someone goes and someone takes responsibility, it has power. It makes a difference. Things change. All right, whatever the end is.
So to speak, as the leader.
Exactly. Now, there is here, this opens up a big topic of discussion.
Yosef had an ironclad plan to bring the father also down to Mitzrayim. And this was a detour.
This was absolutely. So here's the thing. This goes off on a tangent now. Here's the problem. Problem over here is why are you what's going on? Yosef, let's make a fictitious conversation. Yosef would say to Yehuda, "Big deal. What do you mean you're gonna be menude in this world and the next world? Who says? Why do you say you're accepting upon yourself to be a nobody if you don't fulfill a certain condition? You made a declaration before you left your parents' home, your father's home." I will be nothing in this world and in the next world. I will have no opportunity for growth, for achievement. I will be cut out from any career opportunity and any elevation in this world and the next world if I violate the following condition. What's the condition? If I don't bring home my brother, my kid brother. Oh, you made a condition. And if the condition is not met, then it's going to trigger something. Something is going to happen if you don't fulfill the condition. Whoever said that there is such a concept in this world where you can make a condition that triggers something? Let's talk about many mamorech gemaras. A person says to a woman, "I want to marry you." Hare, I'm giving you a tabas. Tabas, kedushin, hareat mikudeshes. Don't take it so quickly yet. Almanas, I'm a multimillionaire. Almanas, I have in my bank account $10 million. And then the chosen gives the kala the ring. He does a maisa kedushin. A maisa kedushin. He gives the kala the tabas. Here's the ring. But remember, this act of marriage is only going to go into effect if I have in my bank account $10 million. He gives her the tabas, he's harem b'kudeshes li'b'tabazo, and then they scramble, they call the government, they call the CIA to search any possible bank account that's linked to this person, and guess what? This guy doesn't even have a nickel to his name. He doesn't have a penny to his name. So is he married to this woman? Absolutely not. Of course not. Yeah, tonight. All these conditions. You're talking about the things that the gomor. That's different. Yeah, we're talking about a regular tonight. Absolutely not. He's not married. If you make a tonight, the tonight has power. the action that you have done has no meaning because there was a condition attached. Now, wait a minute. Why does that work? How do we know that works? How do we know that there's something called a tanai? A tanai is just word. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. If I have $1 million, $10 million in my bank account, then this action will work. And if I don't have $10 million in my bank, then this action will not work. Well, tell me, what's stronger? An action of giving a woman a ring, kesef kedushin, and saying hariat mikudeshes, or some
you
words?
Changed it when you say, and if I don't, I don't. Then you say,
oh, that's tanai kofel. Okay, that's tanai. Okay. So let's put that aside for a moment. What is more potent? An action, doing something which the Torah declares works, a maisa between a man and a woman, giving her a kesef kedushin, which the Gemara tells this is the way you get married, creates a chalois, or you some nonsense that comes out of your mouth. You open up your big mouth, and if I have $10 million in my bank account, then this action should count. Excuse me, you did a maisa kedushin. You gave something of your possession to her with certain words in the framework of marriage. That's very, very powerful. What comes out of your mouth is total nonsense. Whoever said that your dibur, your conditions, can prevent an action between you and another person? It's like, you and the person is like a train going down, a locomotive going down the railroad track at 100 miles an hour, and your words are like, oh, stop. You're standing there in the middle of the train, the crossroads. Oh, could you stop the train? Your words are nothing. The train's coming 100 miles an hour. There's nothing your words get no effect. Nonsense. So you know who asked this question? The one who asked this question is the Rush. This is not the Tosfos HaRush. The Tosfos HaRush says the only way that we know that taka words can make a difference, tanai b'nei God b'nei Ruvain. The sugya of the tanai b'nei God b'nei Ruvain is a chidush in the Torah that is an awesome chidush that your few words of nonsense that come out of your mouth can go and prevent a maise, an action, from going into effect. If not for the psukim of Tanai b'nei Gadu b'nei Ruvain, no way can words of your that come out of your mouth prevent an action that the Torah legitimizes be prevented from going into effect. It's only because there's a sugya at the end of Chumash Bamidbar of Tanai b'nei Gadu b'nei Ruvain, which allows your few words of nonsense to prevent the chalois of a maisa. And therefore, wait a minute, in the sugya of Tanai b'nei Gadu b'nei Ruvain, there are numerous conditions that must be met. As some of the people here mentioned, it has to be a Tanai kofel, has to be doubled. If I do this, yes. If I don't do this, then not. And the hain must be before. What you will do must come before the laugh. And there are many, many more conditions, which I don't know. Many more conditions. Tanai kofel, tanai kaidim l'maisa, hain kaidim l'laf, utanai bedover echad, v'maisa bedover acher. There are numerous conditions that have to be met in order for the tanai to be chal, because ein l'cha b'yoyse michidushay. The whole concept of a tanai is an awesome chidush. And you have no right to allow it to work unless you fulfill every single rule of the sugya of tanai. This is the question of the Rosh. And therefore he says, over here we're going before Matan Torah. It was not yet invented, this concept called a tanai. And don't say that before the Torah, the classic answer is we don't want to work with that. Let's just put that aside for now, that the Avos were Mekayim, Kol HaTorah Kula, before the Torah was given. You only say that as a Chumrah, not as a Kula. Let's put that aside for now. And also, where do we see that the Yehuda made with Yaakov all of these conditions? They dotted every I, crossed every T, to make every condition. Ki chotasi li'avi kol hayamim. Yosef should say, Yosef can simply say to Yehuda, Yehuda, did you accept upon yourself a nidui? Yes, I did. I made a declaration. I am hereby in nidui. Nidui is a very serious matter. We don't appreciate it today because we don't deal with this altogether, nidui. But in the time of the Gemara, there's something called the nidui, where a person is excommunicated. Okay, there's a very big principle of called nidui. It works. When a person is put in nidui, he's put in nidui. Vezehu. Did you accept upon yourself the nidui? I did. Guess what? Your tenai that you made is not going to prevent it retroactively from going into effect. You know, I'll prove you how you talk, you know, it's taka true. Because even though Yehuda Taka did return Binyamin alive to his father, it v'zois l'Yehuda. Chazal said that for 40 years, that all the years of the Midbar, the bones of Yehuda were rattling. He was a nidui. Yehuda never recovered. He never recovered from this. In the next world, they did not allow him to enter into the yeshiva shalmaylot. It's a Beferish and Gemara. It's Beferish and Rashi. It's Beferish and Rashi. V'zos l'Yehuda v'yamar. Moshe had to be mispalel to annul the nidui of Yehuda, even though Yehuda was Mekayim the Tanai. He was Mekayim. So alachas kama v'kama, Yosef can say to Yehuda, Yehuda, did you accept upon yourself a nidui? Yes, I did. But I made a tenai that it should not be chal if I fulfill the condition. So if I fulfill the condition, I bring back my brother alive to my father, then retroactively, I was never in nidui. Yosef would say to Yehuda, I want to break it to you. It's not going to make a difference. The B'nai God and B'nai Reuven didn't happen yet. Don't look into your crystal ball about B'nai God and B'nai Reuven. This whole thing, if there's a principle of putting yourself in nidui, you're in nidui. Tanai, did you fulfill Cain, Kaidim Lamaisa, did you fulfill all of these conditions? And when you made the Tanai, no. So therefore, what's this whole thing? Imloi avienu chotasi liovi kol hayomim. Now, you may not like the question because obviously it does work. But see, it's not my question. It's the Tosfos Rosh's question. The Tosfos Rosh. Obviously, it worked. It did work, right? But the Tosfos are just saying, why? We're missing something over here fundamental. Now, the answer in this case is better than the question. That's why we're discussing, even though you're going to say, before Matan Torah, you know, you made it tonight. You can go. But the answer we're going to give is a very good answer, which makes it all worth the question. What is going on over here? So the answer to the question is, it changes the halacha. It forces us to redefine the rules, the concept of making conditions. And here are some of the answers. First of all, some of the answers given by is it the Tosfos HaRosh himself who gives the answers? Or is it Tosfos himself gives some of the answers. Tosfos, not Tosfos HaRosh. And the Ramban, all the Rishonim deal with this, the concepts. And one of the answers is that this concept of a Tanai needs multiple conditions and cannot prevent something from happening. It's like a locomotive going down the railroad tracks that can't be stopped. It's only when you do a Maisa to somebody else. But when you do something to yourself, then it's a svara. Conditions work. In other words, the case of B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, what was the story in B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven? B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven are betraying Klal Yisrael. We need an army. We have to fight the Canaanim. We're going into Eretz Yisrael. It's dangerous. The Shiva Sa'amim. We need a fight. So B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven say, okay, you know what? We're going to fight. Who are they fighting for? They're not fighting for themselves. Because we, as far as we're concerned, will settle right here. We'll live in Borough Park. We're very happy. Live in Borough Park. We don't need to go to Eretz Yisrael. We'll live in Lakewood. We don't need to go to Eretz Yisrael. Who needs Eretz Yisrael? We'll stay right over here. in the pasture land, in New Jersey, we'll stay right here. Who needs to go there? So you know what? But they need us. The people living, the rest of Klal Yisrael needs us to lead and fight and conquer. And so you know what? We will go and we will fulfill our duty to you, to another person. And then by doing that, by fulfilling our condition to another person, that will trigger our entitlement, our kinyan, to take possession of this land. We are going to make a maisa kinyan on this land. We're going to possess this land. Our acquisition of this land is conditional. We did a maisa, made a chazaka. We took possession. No, we're not taking possession. The act of possession, we can be uprooted. We can be legally dismissed and forced to leave unless unless the condition is true. Why? Because the condition is a condition to somebody else. And when you there, the truth is, if not for the chidush of the Torah, you would say, if we take possession of this land, here we are, we're now on the other side of the Yarden, we're taking possession of this land. Taking possession is a legal acquisition. We're going to make a chazaka, we're going to plant, we're going to step on the land, we're going to improve the land, we're going to dwell upon. We are doing an action, a maisa. You're doing a maisa to take possession of the land. It's like a locomotive going down the railroad tracks 100 miles an hour. There's nothing that can stop it. Oh, you know what? Our act of taking possession is conditional if we do you a favor. If I do you a favor, then... it's going to work. It's going to work nonsense. Your words of doing someone a favor cannot prevent your legal acquisition of taking possession of this piece of land. It's impossible. Taking possession is a physical act. It is a maisa kinyan, and no words that you say logically should make one bit of a difference. Along comes the parasha B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuven and tells us an awesome, awesome chiddush. Even though I make a physical maisa, a physical acquisition in this piece of land, my physical acquisition is not in the world of halacha considered to be valid. I am a squatter and I can be legally dismissed because I put a condition, I opened up my mouth and I said a couple of words. I have to do something first. I have to go fight for my brothers and fight for them and conquer the land. And then retroactively, after I finish fighting for them, retroactively, my physical acquisition will take effect retroactively. So that is a chiddush. And that is what the Torah teaches us when it tells us the parasha of the Tanai of B'nai God and B'nai Reuven. It works. It works. But since it's such an awesome chiddush, you have to do it in every, all of the rules must apply. Number one, you have to have a hein, it'll be a tanai kofel. Hein koidim lemaisa. And the tanai is bedover echad, and the maisa is bedover acher. Once it's such an incredible chiddush that your words can prevent the chalois of something physical that you do in this world, you need a pasuk to teach you that it works. And once you know the pasuk tells you that it works, you must fulfill every single condition. But in the case of Yehuda, what did Yehuda say? Did Yehuda do something physical? What did Yehuda do? Did Yehuda take possession of a piece of land? Did Yehuda take possession of a... Did he buy something? Did he sell something? Did he marry a woman? What did he do? He put himself in nidui. This is a very abstract concept. Number one, it only affects himself. What he did to himself affects no one other than himself. I am an idui. There's no land. When you buy land, the land, it affects the land. The land is now mine. Until now, the land was yours, or the land was Hefker, or the land was someone, and now the land became mine. Here, there's nothing else. There's nothing. It's yourself. I now will be in a different state of being. Until now, I sat in the Olam Haba, I sat at the Mizruch, and now I don't. I'm a Nidui. Nidui is not something which affects anyone else but yourself. Number two, Nidui is not something physical. It is a state of being. And I am making a condition that my state of being will come true only if I fulfill a certain condition. For this, you don't, it's not a chiddush. According to the Tosfos, according to the Ramban, and maybe even according to Tosfos Rosh, that's what he means to say, you do not need to make a chiddush of the Torah to be mechadesh, b'nei God, b'nei Ruvain, and follow all of the strict laws, all of the detailed conditions of hey and kaidim lalav, and the tnais of the v'rechad, and the mais of the v'rechad, you don't need that. It's logical. When you want to do something to yourself, you are the Baal HaBos over yourself. You are not tolui in das acherim. When you marry a woman, there's another partner here. There's a woman that's getting, there are consequences. I'm marrying you, so you're married to me. You can no longer marry another person. You're stuck with me. There are consequences. So then, if we engage in an activity where we get married, I can't say, oh, you know, I said some words. So because I said some words, so therefore we're not really married. Excuse me, you married me? I don't want to hear about all these crazy conditions. Along came the Torah and it was mechadesh, a chiddush neira. It works. A tanai can hold back the marriage even though it's between you and her, and it's a physical act, a maisa. It were provided that you cross the T and you dot the I's, you go through all of the details. But when a person makes a condition, a person does a maisa for himself, it affects no one else other than himself directly. People all tell me the collateral damage, his family and this and that. We don't take that into consideration. Then you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. You don't need to have conditions. If I do this, yeah, you don't need a tanai kofel, you don't need hein kodem lalav, you don't need the tanai in one matter and the mice in another matter. Just say the words. If I don't achieve a result, then I want to be in nidui. I am putting myself in nidui. I will be in nidui. I'm in nidui if I don't bring Binyamin back home. Because the result will be something which only affects, there are two different differences in this case. Number one, it only affects you. It doesn't affect anyone else in this world. It's not like marriage, and it's not like ownership of property, where an object now is legally yours, property becomes yours. Nidui is an abstract concept. Nidui is, I am in Shamta, I am in Cherem. And number two, it only affects me, it doesn't affect, and there's nothing to do with anyone else. Then you can make any condition you want, with any words that you want, and you don't need to have these extreme details of kafel, kain, kain, malav. It works. And that's exactly what Yehuda here is doing. I am putting myself in nidui if I don't achieve a result. Proof to this. It's the Rishonim proof to this. What's proof to this? Yaakov himself said, I will make v'ho'even hazois asher samti matseva yiyeh beis Elokim. He made a pledge. I pledge to make this makom into a beis hamikdash. I'm going to make this makom. I'm going to take upon myself the responsibility of doing something. I will do something in the future for HaKadosh Baruch Hu if a condition is met. What's the condition? If you, Hashem, guard me, v'shavti b'sholom el beis avi. Wait a minute. Where is the Tanai Kofel? We have the entire quotation in Parashas Vayetze. Im yeh lekim imadi ushmarani baderech hazeh asher nochi holech v'nasan li lechem lechel veged l'lmosh v'shavti b'sholom beis avi. Very good. Where's the laugh? That's the hain. If you, Hashem, do A, B, C, D, then v'ho even hazois asher samti matseva yihye beis elokim. I will then make this. I pledge. I will then, at that point in the future, I pledge to make a neder, to go and make this into the Beis HaMikdash. It's not chal. You have to have Tanai Kofel. Where is the Tanai Kofel of Yaakov Avinu? So you know, before Matan Torah, you don't need a Tanai Kofel? Where is the Tanai Kofel? The Tosfos says in the beginning, if a person makes a pledge, you make a neder. I made a neder. V'cho even hazois yiye beis elokim. V'chol asher titen li aser asrenulach. Did you say those words? They'll hold you up at a trial, and they'll go on. They will play it on a big video screen. Did you say these words? I certainly did. It's a neder. Oh, but I also said, go in peace. No, the only one who understands what I just said is Reb Chol. But did you say these words? Yes, I did. I said these words. So you made a neder. Oh, but I also said that these words are only going to be chal. Excuse me, sir. We don't care what you said. This is nonsense. There's a halacha in the Torah called a neder. There's whatever comes out of your mouth on your own is nonsense. It's nonsense. You go and you say, you want to go make work. There's a concept called you make a neder. You say the words, I hereby declare that I will dedicate this makom to the Beis Hashem, make into a Beis Hashem. You say those words, do it. Go ahead and do it. But I made a condition. Your conditions are not in the Torah. The principle of making a neder is a sacred principle. You want to tell me what's for breakfast today? And you want to go complain if the omelet is burnt or not? I don't care. That's not a halacha in the Torah. That's just nonsense. You want to go talk nonsense? Go tell me what the weather is in Chicago? I don't care about that. So Yaakov Avinu, he makes conditions. Who cares about his conditions? Who cares about the conditions? And if you want to tell me the conditions do carry weight, if they do carry weight, at least follow the rules. It should be a Tanai Kofel. The answer is, this neder that you made, this neder that you made is in the category of something that only affects yourself, and something that only has an effect upon you and yourself and no one other than that. You logically can do whatever, you can make any condition that you want. I'm Pesha, also a Pesha hitter. I went and I made a declaration that affects myself, and there are consequences for myself only, and it's abstract. You can logically make any condition that you want, and those conditions work. The only time that in a chanami, it's a chiddush to say that it's your words of nonsense have no effect. That is only going to be true when it affects someone else, or when it is something that is physical. Okay, a third example of this. Okay, this was Yaakov. Okay, there's another example. A Nazir. The entire Masechta Nazir. Learning Masechta Nazir. The Dharm is a segue to Masechta Nazir. A Nazir is another form. So Masechta Nazir are many conditions of being makabel upon yourself in the Zeros. Even the Masechta Nedarim, there are a lot of examples like this. I accept upon myself, if you go to your father Shver, Meir, you learn Misach Nedarim, all these are about going to the Shver. It doesn't talk about the Shviga, it talks about going to the Shver. If you go to your father, the next, until Pesach, then I want the grapes to be Osir. The grapes to be, so there will be the problem, there was the neder there, it affects your wife, it affects someone else. Unless you want to say Ishlei Gufay.
Kedushin brings down all these cases.
Ishlei Gufay. So, unless a person makes a neder, if this certain condition happens, I'm going to be a Nazir. If not all these different, we don't see anywhere in the entire Masech, entire Masech the Nazir, that the conditions have to be Hein, Kedim, Lalav, has to be Kafel, and has all of these things. We don't find anywhere in the whole Masech. Why not? The answer is because Nazirus is something which only affects yourself. It only affects you. It has no effect on anyone else but yourself. I want to be a Nazir. If this person is not a Nazir, if this happens, if that happens, do whatever you want. You can make any condition you want, in any language you want. You don't have any Shulchan Aruch of the Tanai Kafel when the action that you bring upon yourself is something that is totally personal to yourself. You have autonomy over your neshama, over your body, over your life. And if you want to make conditions of how you want to conduct yourself, go right ahead. It's logical that you are in the driver's seat and you have total control. If you want to do something that affects somebody else and you want to add into that conditions, if not for the pasuk of the Tanai, B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain, nothing doing. Then you would not even be able to start. Misfar, you would say, you did something, it affects someone else, and you made conditions. That other person or that other party that is affected by your actions, that person that's affected, they why should they be bound to your conditions? Who says that your conditions have any bearing on how it affects them? You bought a piece of property, you made a ma'aseh kinyan, you married a woman, that's it. That Torah comes along and is mechadesh, that the koyach adib of a person is so powerful and potent that it does work. But you have to follow all of the rules. Here we have three sugyas he presents over here in the Shleimim Mitzion. He expressed three different examples of where we don't find any remez of any controversy of making the condition according to halacha. In this week's parasha, ki avdecha oraves hanar, I took responsibility for Binyamin to return him back to my father, and if not, ki chotosi la'avi kol hayomim, I don't need it tonight, kafel, I don't need it to be after Matan Torah, even before Matan Torah, it's misvara, I can do to my neshama whatever I want. The second example is in the Masechta and the Nazir. We have all these conditions. There's no talk about making a Tanai Kodem Lamaisa and all these things, because there, in the essence of a Nazir, is something which totally affects yourself. And the third example is with Yaakov Avinu, when he made a ned that he's going to this Evan Azoy Samti Matziva Chol Asher Titi Li Aser Asher Nolach. He introduces this neder with a Tanai. We have in a quotation of the exact words of the Tanai, there is no remez of it being a Tanai Kofel or any such matter. Why? Because when it comes to yourself, you have full autonomy, full control in deciding your destiny, and anything that you want to make condition, you can do. It's only when it comes to affect somebody else. Okay, so this is a interesting topic. Now, just derech agaf, going just to be mashed on this topic, there is an interesting question is that we do know, going back, we mentioned before that Yehuda, we do know that at the end of the day, Yehuda was in Nidui when it was all over. And we know from the pasuk Vizos liYehuda vayomar Shma Hashem kol Yehuda vilamot tivienu yodav ravlo v'ezer mitzaraf tihiyeh. What happened with Yehuda? What happened with Yehuda at the end of the story? Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel. Yehuda's bones were rattling in his coffin for the 40 years in the desert, because Yehuda was not allowed entry into the yeshiva shalmaila, because he brought upon himself a nidui when he promised his father, Anochi ervenu miyodi tivakshen im lo yitzagtiv lefanecha v'chotasi liavi kol hayomim. He told his father, I guarantee the return of Binyamin, and if I don't, ki chotas liavi kol hayomim. And then the end was, the end was, he still was suffered from that nidui. His bones were rattling in the coffin until Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel. And even after Moshe was mispalel that he should be allowed entry, he still was not an active participant in the yeshiva shalmaila until Moshe kept on davening for more and more. Yodav Terivena, he had to be mispalel until finally he was able to reach the highest madrega where he would prevail in the yeshiva shalmaila. But the question is why? He fulfilled his condition. Anoichi ervenu miyodi tivakshenu imlohi tzaktiv lifonecha. Did Yehuda not bring Binyamin back alive and stand him up in front of his father? He did. They all came back home at the end. They all came back home. Yosef said to the brothers, Al tirgizu badorech. Don't fight about this. Just go back home. He said this to all of the brothers. So he did come back home. Why then? He fulfilled the condition. So why then did Yehuda suffer? So he says over here, in the name of the Rambam says, the Rambam asks this question. And, maybe this is a different point. Kasav Rambam, nidui al tnai afilu al pi atzmai tzarech afara. Talmachacham shnidus atzmai afilu nidui liyatz al das pleni afilu al dvar shachay velov nidui haray zeh mefim liyatkimin. Uvmashom Rambam, no, this is not what I want to say. Let's go back. The Gemara says, Amar Yehuda, Rambam nidus al tnai tzarech afara. Minel mi Yehuda, dechsev. Mubu bi Gemara, shachal Yehuda hanidus shakib al atzmai, vahu minudu mi yeshiva shal maila. Hatam, shebe'emes, Chal olav hanidoi kosav ha-toisvis. Okay, it's not the Rambam, I apologize. Toisvis asked this question. Toisvis, where is this toisvis? In Mesech the Makos. In Mesech the Makos, Daf Yud Aleph, Omid Beis, he asked this question. And know what he says? Because Yehuda did not have the power to fulfill the Tanai. How? It was not totally bedas atzma, it was totally bedas achedim. How can Yehuda guarantee that he will bring back Binyamin? They go down to Egypt. Once you walk into Egypt, you're no longer under control. It's a communist country, Egypt. You walk into Egypt, you're under the authority of the Egyptians. Whatever they say goes. You no longer have independence.
That was his point, that he was going to do it. He didn't.
That was his whole point. Whatever happens. So the Toisvah says Yehuda made a condition that was ridiculous. That was not possible to be fulfilled. When you make a Tanai, the Tanai means it is truly within your power, legally within your power to fulfill this Tanai. When they entered into Egypt, we have to this touches upon a whole topic of government. Din de Malchus Adina. What rights does a government? We're spoiled. Baruch Hashem, live in America. Freedom. It's never been so good for Jews, for people in general, in the history of the world. Society until modern times in America was a very different type of world. Who says you own? Who says you have any rights altogether? This country is unique. You have a Bill of Rights. Americans don't appreciate it. You go to Eretz Yisrael and you get in trouble with the government, you're in a lot of trouble. In Eretz Yisrael, there's no Bill of Rights. If the government puts a person in prison, you're in a lot of trouble. And the only reason why a person in Eretz Yisrael gets in trouble with the law, has any respect for him, is because he's an American citizen. And America will supposedly fight for you and demand, because you're an American citizen, or if you're a citizen of another country. But if you're an Israeli citizen, if you're an Israeli citizen and you're not a citizen of any other country, you're in a lot of trouble in Eretz Yisrael. There is no Bill of Rights. And unfortunately, people will tell you stories. It's not such a pleasant thing. You don't have, it's a different type of government. Go back in ancient times, it was even a lot worse. You don't own yourself. How does all of this work? You own yourself. The government in America is trying to tell people today that they don't own, they own them. Education, all these different crazy things they're trying to tell people today about who has rights over what. Yosef, when they entered into the land of Egypt, the doors are locked. It's no longer under your power for you yourself to come back yourself. Who says you're going to be able to bring Binyamin back? If you have to present Binyamin to Yosef, who says Yosef will let go of him?
Look at after Shimon.
Exactly. It's not in your control. So if you make a Tanai that's not in your control, then what happens? The Maisa automatically goes into effect immediately, no matter what.
What's the warrior?
Doesn't matter. They have an army. They have an army. They have a soldiers.
What gave Yehuda the thought process that he could be Menatzea?
Exactly. So that's why Vizos Li Yehuda. Yehuda Tosfos says that Yehuda did not have the right to make such a Tanai because it's not in his power to do so. Memela, automatically, the Maisa is Kayam immediately. Now, take what we just learned over here, what Tosfos says, and connect it to what we've learned, what we spent this whole shir on. And that is, when it comes to a person, when it comes to something which affects someone else, then your Tanai is total nonsense. If I marry a woman, man marries a woman, and he makes a condition. You did a Maisa, you married her. You want to make a condition? Your condition is garbage because your Maisa affects somebody else. Only because there's a Chiddush in the Torah, a Chayk, called Tanai B'nei Gad and B'nei Ruvain, and they mainly have to follow all the rules. But let's say you make a condition that affects nobody but yourself, you can do whatever you want. But wait a minute, wouldn't you expect that if the condition that you make is nonsense, so then the Maisa is also nonsense? When it comes to yourself, it's a different set of rules. It's a different set of rules. I do a Maisa. I can make my Maisa conditional. Now, the same way I can make my Maisa conditional and anything that I want without any rules, and it is conditional, wouldn't it be logical to say that if the condition that I make is impossible to fulfill, that automatically means that the Maisa is not Kayam? Because since I'm trying to show that I only want the Maisa to be triggered if certain conditions are met, and the conditions cannot possibly be met, so that's an automatic escape clause that the Maisa is not Kayim. So say just the opposite. Tosfos says, why do we find Vizos Lihuda Vayamar, Shma Hashem Kol Yehuda Vyalamot Tivyenu Yodav Rav Lovies and Misav Tiyya? Why did Moshe have to be Mispalel, but he was Mekayim the Tanai? You know what the answer is? Because the Tanai was a horrible Tanai. The Tanai was not a Tanai. The Tanai could not be Mekayim. So that's why the Neder went into effect 100%. Say just the opposite. Just the opposite. Because the Tanai, there was no potential for the Tanai to go into effect. So the Maisa was a Mekachtos. I never would have made this Tanai. I never would have accepted upon myself the Nidui if I would have known that there was no way for me to fulfill the Tanai. Say just the opposite. Tosfos gives an answer. The answer is too good of an answer because it now is mahapech, the whole thing the other way around. Because, and especially after what we've concluded, that when it comes to yourself, you're totally in control. Bishloima, before we had the shir, and when you do a maisa, you're not in control. A maisa is like a locomotive traveling 100 miles an hour, you're not in control. So then, I did a ma'isa. I was makabel upon myself in nidui. So no matter what I do. But now that we've come to the conclusion that when it comes to yourself, you're totally in control and you have the full right to make any condition you want. So shouldn't it be then that if you make a condition that's total nonsense that cannot possibly be fulfilled, it cannot be fulfilled. So that's ki'ilu, I'm saying, I don't want this nidui should be chal. The only reason why I'm accepting the potential for there to be a nidui is because I have built into my acceptance an escape clause. But if there's no escape clause, I don't want the nidui to be chal altogether. And yet Tosfos says, no, it doesn't work like that. So what do you take out of this? You take out of this is that even when it comes to yourself, you're not in control. That's what comes out of the maskana. The ma'isa, when a person does an action, the bottom line is, be careful what you do. Actions and accepting upon yourself obligations takes on a life of its own. And there's no going back. If your acceptance of responsibility or your actions affect other people, Me'ikar hadin, that's it. That's all that counts. All of your excuses and your conditions are nonsense. It's a chiddush in the Torah of Tnai b'nei Gad and b'nei Ruvain. But you have to meet a lot of conditions in order to be able to trigger that escape clause.
That's why what the Abarbanel says in Matos is very applicable. He says that why did Moshe wait till the end talk about a forest and Durham in Matos, because he didn't want B'nai Israel to get the idea that there's such a thing that you could be made for an Eder. And he wanted them to know,
it creates a life of itself.
So he waited till the last minute before he died to give them the whole idea. And the proof is what happens right away after tonight got B'nai Ruvay. B'nai got to B'nai Ruvay. As soon as that happens, he gives us the whole idea. They say they don't want to go with Eretz Israel and whatever it is. It comes full circle, and it happens. So that's why he gives that's his explanation why he was so late in coming. Same thing with Get. Why did that happen at the end? Because he wanted them to feel that when you get married, you're married. Now, all right, I'm about to die. You can get out of marriage.
All of the things he's saying in Dvarim are all escape clauses. To break, but you want to wait to the very end to impress upon the people how their commitments have to be held, be held. Okay, but even when you make, even with regard to yourself, where you are fully in control, you learn an incredible chiddush from Tosfos that even by yourself you're not in control, because if your condition is a nonsense condition, don't think because you went through the effort of making a condition that you cannot fulfill, it should negate the entire event. No. If you say, I'm going to be in Nidui, on the condition that I bring Binyamin back, and now you discover that it's not within your power to make that condition. Okay, then I never accepted upon myself the Nidui. Guess what? You're not in control of yourself either. If you make a condition, if you say something, you're going to do something, that goes into effect. You want to be able to control it? Okay, we give you a lot more leeway because it's only about yourself, but not total leeway. Person is responsible for his actions no matter what. Okay, Rabbi, so we'll stop over here.
Amen.